So Wall Street's all excited over Facebook, not necessarily the status updates, but over the possible value of the social networking site. It's rumored to be valued at $100 billion, which is the hottest IPO since Google went public in 2004. That would mean Facebook would be raising $10 billion to add to its bank account, and that would be six times what Google got in its IPO. So what does this mean? Media theorist Douglas Rushkoff is here. Douglas is the author of Program or Be Programmed, 10 Commands for a Digital Age. Douglas, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be with you.
So there are some essential questions that need to be answered about this IPO, but we're going to set aside one of the biggest, which is Facebook actually worth $100 billion? Okay, so let's just set that aside for the moment and assume that that's true, okay? What does $10 billion added to their bottom line mean for Facebook? Is it just profits for the honchos at Facebook, at the company, or how would it change Facebook?
Well, I'm a media theorist, right? So I look at almost everything as media, right? And I look at money as a medium. You know, it's a medium with its own agendas and its own biases. And the more money you take on, you know, the more like money you become, right? So when you've got a company, a social media company that's a little upstart out of a dorm room of a college, you know, then what are its agendas? Its agendas as a company, as a technology, are the agendas of the guys who are making it, the guys and girls who are making it. If you the more money you take on, the more investors you take on, the more public company you become on a stock exchange, the more really like business as usual you become, the more like corporate capitalism you become.
Okay, so if they're going to become more like sort of a megalithic company, do you think that will change sort of the user experience of Facebook? Will it change it so much that people will stop using it?
Well, you and I, we're not the users of Facebook. You know, we're the products of Facebook. You know, the users, the customers of Facebook are its advertisers and the social marketing, you know, research firms that are buying our user data. So yeah, as the company becomes worth more money and has more investors, it will be obligated to create more value for those investors, like any company, to have more profits. And that means steering itself more towards the needs of its real customers, who are the people paying it, rather than us, who are the people really using this service for free in return for surrendering our data.
We're speaking with Douglas Rushkoff, who is a media theorist and author of Program or Be Programmed, 10 Commands for a Digital Age. And I wonder, what are the chances, do you think, Douglas, that we'll see another LinkedIn debacle, that they're going to come out with this very flashy, high-value IPO, and then later we're going to find out it was overvalued and you have to reevaluate?
Well, I mean, those are the kind of business questions that, you know, the Morgan Stanley will be better to answer than me. I mean, as I see it, they're being very shrewd. They're smart business people. What they're doing to avoid that is really just putting up very few shares. They're putting up a much smaller part of the company than one might think, you know, like maybe 5 or 10 or 15% of the company, so that they can do releases later. They can only put out If they put out just a few shares, then everyone will still want those few shares rather than putting out zillions of shares and then a lot of people selling them, you know, which is clever. But the question that I keep coming back to is, when you've got Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, thinking about how many shares do we release and how do we do that in a way that's not going to devalue our you know, market cap over time, those aren't the kind of questions that you necessarily want a social media company thinking about, or that I would think Mark Zuckerberg wants to be thinking about. Now, I think he was backed into this. He had to go public because he's got more than 500 investors, because he's got 3,000 employees who want to cash in or move somewhere else, because he's got the pressures of people who are expecting to make a lot of money off this thing, and that's what they care about. I would, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, love Mark Zuckerberg or his vision for the internet, but I would argue that he's probably surrendering some of that vision and some of his own, really his time and passion, in order to attend to the kinds of questions that we're looking at this morning.
But, you know, Zuckerberg himself says he doesn't really care about the money, just about what it enables Facebook to do. Do we have a clue from things like a company like Google, which is simpler, similar?
Yeah.
About
I mean,
what
to
will
some
happen?
Extent, yeah. I mean, when Google became public, you know, they had much more of an obligation to prove their devotion to their shareholders' interests, you know, and they did that. They cut pet programs. They have to show earnings growth. They have to show focus. They got rid of Google Labs, which was this sort of fun place where you could experiment with things. You don't see Google, you know, talking so much anymore about how, oh, every employee is going to have 20% of their time just as free time to do whatever they want. You know, that's not the kind of thing you say when you have a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders to show that you're doing the best possible job making them money.
But that sounds, Douglas, as though you're saying that a tech company, by definition, in order to remain successful, has to lose its soul.
No, I'm saying that a tech company or any company, if they're going to become a publicly traded company, then their chief responsibility and concern has to be for their shareholders over whatever it was that they may have come onto the scene to accomplish. So when I look at something like Facebook going public, I don't see it as, ooh, look, social media is now going to take over the economy. I see it as the opposite. I see it as a social media company accepting that it's been working on top of another operating system all along. And that's a bigger operating system than the Mac or Windows or Linux. It's the operating system of central capital.
But would you invest? Will you invest in Facebook?
Me? Oh, I'm not. I don't do that kind of thing. I mean,
you don't invest.
So much of my career is spent talking and thinking about technology. If I invested in it, I think that would be bad diversification.
Douglas Rushkoff, author of Program or Be Programmed, 10 Commands for a Digital Age. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we've been asking you all morning long, what do you want Mark Zuckerberg to do with $10 billion if that's what Facebook brings in? What do you think he should do with that pile of cash? Let us know at 8778-MY-TAKE.
You and I, we're not the users of Facebook. You know, we're the products of Facebook. You know, the users, the customers of Facebook are its advertisers and the social marketing, you know, research firms that are buying our user data.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.